Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you one and all for joining us and keeping us company, because otherwise we'd be doing this alone, which would be really weird. My guest tonight is my dear friend Maureen McElroy, who does psychic surgery, and we're going to have fun talking about what she does and what I do and what that experience is like from the practitioner side, from the side of the people who are doing the work. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And tomorrow is the full moon. And I always bring up the issue of the full moon because it's been obvious to me how it affects people for a very long time. Even before I was doing healing work, I did ambulance and rescue as a volunteer for, I don't know, almost 15 years. And everybody who does emergency work, the police, the ambulance crews, the fire departments, the emergency rooms, if you ask them, does the full moon really affect anything? You get an eye roll and a head nod. And Oh, yeah. Because you see it. You see that people behave differently. You see that the kinds of situations that come up on the night of the full moon are very different from the rest of the month. I also have worked in locked psych units and in residential treatment centers. And there also, we knew that the full moon was going, this was going to be somebody who was going to have some kind of an issue, an outburst, or very emotional or difficult, or whatever it happened to be. So in my personal experience, the full moon does affect people. And mostly it's what some people call a force multiplier. Whatever is going on, it makes it more powerful. So if you're already emotional in some way, it will make that emotion more. If you're depressed, if you're anxious, if you're freaked out, whatever it happens to be. And so people do things based on the fact that everything feels more of whatever it is. So if you're afraid, you're more afraid, and you do stuff that fearful people do. So why am I telling you this? One, so you'll, you know, like everything else, pay attention. Have your own experience of how the time around the full moon is different. But the full moon is also a very powerful time. So if you are aware of it and grounded, so you're doing things to keep yourself from being overwhelmed by the energy, you can use that energy in healing work and get, in effect, the power of it. There are times when the full moon, for someone who's very sensitive, is overwhelming, either emotionally or physically. Your body may hurt, or whatever the symptoms are that you get during the lunar cycle. Until you know that that's what's going on, it feels really weird and crazy. Why do I feel so bad today? My body hurts, you know. But eventually, as you pay attention to it, you realize that it does fit the new moon and the full moon, especially if there's a solar eclipse at the same time, that energy that moves all the water on this planet. Think about that for a second. Tides are caused by where the moon is. It yanks all of the water on the planet and moves it around every day, all day. Is it going to affect you in some way? Yeah, probably. You're part of the planet. The other thing is, we've talked about ascension symptoms a lot, and a lot of the physical stuff of the ascension symptoms is caused by solar events, solar flares, solar wind, other things that are happening on the sun that then are projected towards the earth and create a huge amount of energy suddenly. And whether we're paying attention to it or not, we're affected. So as with everything else, the more you know, the easier it is to deal with it. The more you pay attention, the more you can figure out what's going on and what to do about it and not be freaked out. So one of the tricks I did when I was working at the residential treatment center with teenagers was I fasted on the full moon. I would bring in stuff to drink all day at work, but I didn't eat anything during the school day. And kids that were totally competent, kids that could do whatever project they were doing without any trouble, would suddenly be unable to do the simplest things. And they come to me very upset. It's upset at themselves for being incompetent, upset that they messed something up, whatever it happened to be. They say, What do I do? What do I do? And I say, wait until tomorrow. They're like, what are you talking about? I say, I can't even explain it to you. Just don't even try today. It'll be easier tomorrow. And sure enough, the kid would come in the next day and would be able to do it without any problem because they were being affected by the moon. Of course, the only reason that I could be grounded and unaffected by it was that I was paying attention and I was fasting. So there are ways to deal with the lunar energy in such a way that it doesn't knock you all over the playground. But tomorrow is the full moon. Say hello to our grandmother, the moon, and thank her for all that she does for us. And pay attention to how the lunar cycle affects you and what you can do to make that easier on yourself. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And now we get to hang out with one of my favorite people, Maureen McElroy. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Maureen.
Oh, you're welcome.
So lots of people ask me to be their go-to person when they're not feeling quite right and they want to get what we call, in quotation marks, cleaned up.
Yes.
And Maureen is my go-to person.
She's yes, the one. But you're also mine, too.
Right. But I want to give people an idea who you yeah. are in all of this and how much I trust the work that you do, which I tend to call psychic surgery, and most people have no idea what that means. So why don't you give folks an idea of the kinds of things that you have applied your skills to and how that works?
Okay, well, at least for me, the psychic surgery comes kind of, I look at a person's energy system like a doctor would, and I can see the organs that in someone's body, and I can tell the emotions that put a certain disease or discomfort in the body. Mm-hmm. And I go in with a golden scalpel that Raphael hands me, or the boys, and make an incision and cut it out. But first, they clean the aura for me using 6 very industrial vacuum cleaners. And so then I can pull back the aura, and I can tell how long an emotion has usually been in somebody's system. It could be years and something that happened as a child, but it won't manifest itself physically till adulthood. And then you have to physically go in the organ and have like a campfire and release the emotion and balance out the body. And usually people are like, oh, I feel better. What happened? Or after something happens, I said, well, I put internal stitches in there. So be careful and drink a lot of water. Keep yourself hydrated.
So most people listening to you have no idea how all of that works. So for one thing, you have psychic sight that yes. allows you to see even remotely
yeah.
what's going on in the body.
Yes.
And
I like to do most of my work remotely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like I, to do most of the work I do remotely.
Right. And you also have relationships with hidden allies, the beings that most human beings don't actually see. And what you're talking about is they're assisting you in doing all of this. And so some of them have names that people would be familiar with from various religions, and some of them not. And you have your nicknames for them, and I have my nicknames for them.
Yeah.
But this whole realm of being able to see this way and do things like create a scalpel in your mind and make changes, which then make a difference in the health of somebody, is very much the way shamanism works.
I call it smell-o-vision. Because I do get smells too.
Right, right. But
I'm very broadband.
Right, and that's something that's an expression that we use all the time. If somebody is walking around in normal consciousness, it's a lot like when the only radios we had were AM radio. In your car, at home, if you were listening to music or the news, you just had AM radio, one speaker. It was hard to tune in. You could only get local stations. There wasn't much, a couple of local music stations and maybe some news and talk, and the ball game or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But now we've got all of these different things that are going electromagnetically through the air, FM radio, television, cell phones, police radio, weather information, all of that stuff is there. But if you don't have the right receiver, you can't hear it. Mm-hmm. And so people like us, people that you and I call broadband, have the ability to pick up more signals than most people do. Not because they're incapable of doing it, but because they never realized they could and they never practiced.
Right.
And some people are talented. Mm-hmm. So there are things that we can tune into that are always there for everybody, but they don't see it because they're not doing this stuff. And so I'm curious, because we've never talked about it, when you see remotely, psychically, does it look like the physical body solid in front of you? Does it look transparent? Do you see the outside and then the inside? What does it look like?
I see the person. It would be like a 3D version of them. Mm-hmm. And then if it's an emotion that put some discomfort in the body, they bring a movie screen in front of me and replay the emotion on the screen, or how the injury first happened. And I get out popcorn and I'm like, ooh, movie time. And then I'm like, okay, this was 25 years ago. Okay, this is, really locked in there. And I've noticed this with some family members or close friends, if they have heart issues, something usually happened to them when they were younger, and their heart develops kind of a wall around it, and you have to like chip away the wall. And I mean, they make me the size of Tinkerbell if need be, in leather pants and to go in and fix it. Or like, I have really big wings, lavender wings when I do this, and it's just
so part of the part you get much more interesting storylines and pictures than I do. I'm much more nuts and bolts, but you have much more of an experience of kind of a fairy tale interesting story developing around what's happening, and you get to see it in a very creative way.
Yeah, I haven't seen pink elephants flying. Now that I said that, I probably will.
You'll probably see them tomorrow. Absolutely.
But that's how I see it. And the boy has actually taught me how to do this from no one taught me how. They were the ones that stepped in and did it. Cause I remember at a young age sitting in my room saying, I want older brothers. I don't need any more sisters. I have two younger sisters. That's enough. And then I asked God for older brothers. And then 7 years later, after I was 6 years old, they're like, we're here. And it's like, who's here? And they're like, you always had imaginary friends. We're very real. And I'm like, well, I knew you were real. Okay. And then they're like, we're your brothers. And, you know, they told me that they were archangels. And I'm like, you mean the ones in the Bible? And the one, you know, like Michael with the Virgin Mary and all that stuff. And he's like, yeah. And the Annunciation, yeah. So I'm like, I'm not dead, am I? They're like, no, you're very much alive. So.
Right. And what's fascinating to me, I know your experience of them is much more up close, personal, and technicolor. They showed up in my life when I was doing some healing work that was really dangerous. And they were kind of like we were like a SWAT team together.
Well, they change your frequency when you need to do something very dangerous and stealthy.
So they come to you in party hats and do girly things. But to me, it was like hanging out in the firehouse and giving each other a hard time and telling jokes. And
well, they still tell jokes, but I wouldn't say they're very girly. Because they like to joke around and tease me all the time, and they love it when I go off on demons. They get a kick out of it. They're like, well, let's get out the popcorn and watch her just go. And they're like, we know we don't need protection, but we like that you are kind of protective of us in the same way that we are extremely of you. So, yeah.
Right.
I mean,
to the two of us with our different versions of it, this is commonplace. And, you know, we chat about it like it's totally normal. But for most people, especially people in a religion that talks about the archangels with tremendous veneration and thinks that they're just statues in a church or pictures in a book, the idea that you could have a conversation with them and they could actually help you is a little out there.
Well, they are important and they are special, but if people actually saw what they look like, they wouldn't have sculpted or painted half the stuff they did. I mean, I always joke with them when I get a religious magazine. I'm like, how many times are you mentioned and like all of you mentioned here? And I count and I'm like, that's not what you look like. And they're like, yeah, I know, they got it totally wrong.
And that's, you know, very true of Jesus, who's portrayed as being a white guy and, you know, was Middle Eastern. He was a Jewish guy. With dark skin. So anyway, that's how it sorted out as Christianity became more and more European. But I find it fascinating that the archangels are represented not by name, but by their energy and the work that they do in almost every religion all over the world.
Oh, they're not called their name in every religion. Even Michael's energy is universal.
Yep.
They don't call him Michael, or the Virgin Mary's energy is universal. I have not met her. I've heard about her, but I don't need to meet her. Although I'm told that she's very nice, and I'm told that Jesus is a very nice boss. But I don't need to, you know, meet them. My room would be extra crowded then. And I mean, the first time actually that I had to sit down with Zach, and I told my friend that was dying of pancreatic cancer, and this was in October when I had the sit down with him, and he came in for about 15 minutes, and I put my hand out. He's like, "I know who you are," and then we have a conversation, and I said to my mom, "Oh." The next day, I had a conversation with the angel of death, and she almost has a rears off the road. She's like, "And you're still standing?" I said, "Well, it wasn't my time to go." And I said,
"Well, and that's such a bad name for him. He's not the angel of death. He's the angel that helps people cross over."
Right.
So he isn't causing death. Death is happening to that person, and he's there to help them go from the physical plane to the non-physical plane.
And my friend that was dying of cancer, she was also an energy worker, and she had pancreatic cancer for 2.5 years, and the doctors fired her as a patient because they're like, "You're not sick enough. We don't understand how you have no pain. You're able to drive and go to the chiropractor and see clients." And I was sitting down with her in October, and she said, like, I just told her about Zach, and she starts laughing, and she writes down what he looks like. And I said, "Why are you writing it down?" She said, "So I know when he comes to pick me up, that's the guy." And I said, "Okay." And then as I'm leaving, she says, "Maureen, you can tell them to give me pain now, because I know that you and them set up so that I wouldn't." And she said, "You can't leave this world without some pain." So I said, "Okay, now I told them after that they could lift the ban on some parts of it." So, yeah. But, I mean, and I've helped people cross over that are stuck and other things like that. And I've also helped animals and plants and stuff. So.
Well, and that's basically what a ghost is somebody whose body has died, and for a whole number of reasons, they either didn't figure that out or didn't leave when the door was open, or were afraid that they were bad and they would go to a bad place, all kinds of reasons, but they didn't leave when their body died, and so they're here in between. They're not physical anymore.
Yeah. And they're always surprised cross over. That I can see them. It's like,
right.
And I'm like, "No, I can see you." And they're like, "Oh, I've been trying to communicate with my family and I don't understand why." I'm like, "Well, here, what's the last year you remember?" is the first thing I always ask. Right. And then they tell me, and I'm like, "Well, I hate to be the one to break it to you, but you're out of your body right now, and you're no longer in a physical body. And that explains why when you go to talk to somebody, they're not hearing you."
Right. Well, let's pick this up after the break, because it's a wonderful conversation. talking about this whole what ghosts understand and what they don't. You don't have a website yet, but how can people get in touch with you?
They can email me. And my email is mrnmcelroy, mcelroy at verizon.net.
Great. And you're also on Facebook.
And they call me too if need be too. People that have my number call me.
Right, right. Well, they can find you on Facebook, Maureen B. McElroy, and contact you there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we got to get you at least a simple website. Welcome to the real world.
The real world that we deal with that's the real world.
Right.
This is the illusion.
Exactly. But
We don't want to
confuse people too much. So we're going to go to the break. We'll be back shortly. unless we get taller. My guest tonight is Maureen McElroy. We're talking about psychic surgery, and this is David Franklin Farkas on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. Don't go nowhere. We're going to have a lot more fun.
The Empower Meditation Channel. Nonstop meditation music 24 hours a day in the new Empower Radio app. Music to empower your meditation, help you relax, sleep, or provide a calm background while you work. The Empower Meditation Channel is interruption-free. Listen now with the Empower Radio app, free in the App Store, or listen online at empower.fm. Soothe your soul. Calm your mind. The Empower Meditation Channel.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor or mentor. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet which could benefit all of civilization. Yet it's been largely ignored. That resource is women. In many of the world's poorest communities, women are denied a significant role. So often their talent and potential remain untapped. At CARE, we found in country after country that empowering women is one of the fastest ways to improve conditions and help end poverty. That's why CARE is helping provide girls and women with an education, opportunity, and a voice worldwide.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
It's a source of power the world can no longer afford to overlook. She has the power to change her world. You have the power to help her do it. Call 1-800-521-CARE or visit care.org. There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet which could benefit all of civilization. Yet it's been largely ignored. That resource is women. At CARE, we found in country after country that empowering women is one of the fastest ways to help end poverty.
I am powerful.
She has the power to change her world. You have the power to help her do it. Call 1-800-521-CARE or visit care.org.
Be the change you want to see in the world. This is Empower Radio.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my guest and dear friend Maureen McElroy, who does some really amazing remote healing work. And we're talking about what that experience is like. And hers is, I think, much more visually rich than mine is.
You're a different way than me. Like,
well, you know, I see things also, but I see them in, I think, probably less detail than you do, and it's in my mind's eye. It's not in front of me with my eyes open particularly.
Well, my eyes are usually closed when I get a vision, unless they suck me into through a tunnel of something that's happening in real time.
Right.
If that happens, they change my frequency because I don't know where in the world they're going to pull me. I don't know. Yeah.
Now, I'm just sitting here giggling because I know for a long time you worked in a very, very straight job. And nobody knew any of this.
No, and I didn't tell anybody. Well, I've been doing it for 25 years. And
right.
I didn't tell anybody for at least 10. The first 10 years, because I didn't want to be seen as the weird family member at the picnic. And like, oh, you see this?
Right.
Like, I didn't want my family to know. Yeah, I see my dead relatives on a pretty much daily basis, and they come back and talk to me. I mean, like, they just, we have regular conversations and everything. So
right, you have a very active psychic life of being in more than one level of reality at the same time, and that's part of what doing this work is about, is being in at least two
I live realities. In two worlds at the same time.
Living in two worlds at the same time, which is sort of another one of those definitions of shamanism. You know, a shaman is someone who can leave the physical world and go into the non-physical world, make contact with the beings there and ask for assistance. And see what underlies the problems that exist on the physical world.
The Akashic Records is my happy place. Because it's a huge library, and Eli and Met are there all the time. And they're like, oh, you know, and they're always so happy to see me. And I come up to their shoe, so, yeah.
Well, and just to translate for people that may not know what the Akasha are, the Akashic Record is, there are a lot of different explanations for this, but the idea that everything that can be known or has ever been known exists in this library-like environment that people that learn how to do it can access. So it's one way of doing certain kinds of psychic readings is to read the Akashic Record for somebody.
Yeah, and they have very comfy chairs.
See, but that's the thing about your experience is you have an experience of a real place with comfy chairs, and I don't think most people do.
And golden doors with like Sanskrit on
right.
them.
Right. Yeah. No, I get it. And actually, as you're talking about it, I can see some of it, but probably nowhere near the level of detail.
I've seen all of them, all six of them in like battle gear and stuff, and with this, I've seen them with the swords, I've seen them in Elvis costumes, I've seen them like with bunny ears on their head, or they dress Michael up as like the Cupid baby, and it's like, then I'm like, he's like, I lost a bet. Or they play poker in my room. Yeah
it's a wonderful thing. And it allows you to do this work by having that experience with those beings, but also being able to see all the things that you see.
Of course, also talent and justice too.
And of course, the problem is that most people don't have that experience, and the scientific medical community defines people that see things that most people don't see, and have understandings that most people don't understand as being psychotic. It's just the way that they define something they don't understand.
Yeah, I'm probably the sanest person you could meet
right.
with a little twist, you know.
Right, and I've met some pretty crazy medical practitioners. but that's part of this experience and doing this work of being in more than one world and seeing things that other people do not typically see, or if they do, it scares them and they run away from it, is that you have to be very careful who you tell about this stuff, because you know, if somebody who has the power to do bad things to you because they're afraid of what you said, or They're afraid that you could hurt people or whatever crazy thing they come up with. It can make life miserable.
True.
And it makes it difficult to sort out how to have conversations with people and who to talk to about what.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know who to tell stuff to and who not to.
And here we are telling people our deepest, darkest secrets on the radio.
But, I mean, that's why, like, Talon and Justice are there. That's why the dragons are there. I mean, for protection and stuff, too.
Well, but it's also the reason that throughout history and all cultures, the people that have this experience and that the tribe comes to for healing and for assistance typically are hermits. They typically live alone and are not completely integrated into all the other activities of the community because they're different.
Yeah. I mean, when I went into the movie theater on Tuesday to see the movie Wonder Woman, mm-hmm. and I'm sitting in they redid the theater, and I'm sitting in the seats, and you know, no one is sitting next to me, and of course the gang, they all come, like the dragons, the Pegasus, and the Talon and Justice, but like also because it's dark, I get you know, images in my head of stuff that went on there. So it's like, right. I don't go out like out. I mean, I go to the movies once in a while, but I don't go out as much as I used to.
Right. Well, you know, if I go to a theater, I have to clear it so that I don't pick up all those emotions and images. And I don't go very often. And like, I'm going to go see Wonder Woman, but I'm going to go to the matinee, not on the weekend, because the theater is less likely to be crowded.
It's very good.
So I've heard. And also because I can get the senior discount. But
I got it for free.
But, you know, every once in a while, I wind up, you know, going to see something with my daughter at a crowded theater. And it's almost overwhelming to have that many people closely packed around me.
Yeah,
because I pick up all of their emotions and all of their energy, and it's noisy. And the other thing is, movie theaters have the sound cranked up way too high.
Yes, yeah, and this theater that they redid was for Dolby sound. I didn't know what that was, and then it was like rocking the chair, and I'm like, "Am I on a roller coaster or what?" And I'm like, this is way too loud because I can hear things at a very low level.
Right.
Even with my new kitchen lights, I still can't eat with the lights on because I hear a buzzing sound that bothers my third eye.
Right. Because of the light. You know, and it's just being so much more sensitive than most people are. And, you know, what I try to do whenever possible is I just wait for it to come out on Blu-ray or show up on one of the online movie sources. And I've got a decent TV and decent surround sound that I can control how loud the stuff is. Of course, if it's a real adventure movie, I turn it up loud enough that it shakes the ceiling for my neighbors. But
yeah.
The next day, they'll say, what were you watching last night? Like, oh, just Burn Notice. Sorry, I didn't catch it to turn it down.
Yeah, and the boys, a lot of times, they say to me, like, if I fall down, they're like, we're going to put you in bubble wrap. I'm like, that wouldn't help. And I'm like, just be quiet. You know, I'm like, they're like, okay, we'll stand out here while you're in there. And yeah. I mean, they have rules, I have rules, and yeah, we respect each other's.
Well, and that's one of the things that I think also is shocking to people. You know, they will know either one of the you know, the archangels come to mind in Christianity, but for example, both of us work with Kali, who is a goddess from the Hindu tradition.
Yes, my sister.
And most people are terrified of her because her appearance is very intense, and it's intended to scare. Right. Kali is wonderful.
And so it's for the general.
But for most people, when they think of a godlike deity like Kali or General Guan Yu, they don't think that it's appropriate to talk to them. They don't think that they will talk to us, that, you know, they're somewhere else, very different, very special. How could you possibly be on a first name basis with them and give them a hard time?
I was introduced to Kali through the boys, and they're like, well, now it's time for you to meet her. And then when she's like, oh, I've heard about you. And
probably from me.
Yeah, my aunt, like my family members that have crossed over, and if they come back, they're like, you do realize that you're like a big deal on the other side. Like, you're the, I'm like, I'm not the godfather, but okay. And then my family members, their eyes bug out. And we always knew you were special, but this takes it to a whole other level. And I'm like, you have no idea. Because they see everything walking behind me. And it's like, okay.
Right. The funniest one I had with that is when I was still married, my in-laws, you know, really didn't know what to make of me. They thought I was really strange. And even when I was trying to help them. And when they died, when each of them died, they came back to say, we had no idea that what you were doing was real or who you were. And thank you so much. And, you know, people know you here. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you that. You would have thought I was crazy, but there you go.
Yeah. My great aunt that was 104, I before she died, I guess I had seen her. I went to her nursing home right before her 104th birthday. And like, she was skin and bones, and this was in September, and she didn't die till December 6th. And we were alone in her room at the nursing home, and she said, Maureen, thank you. And I said, Aunt B, what are you thanking me for? She said, for sending grandma, her sister, to be with her at night when she's at the nursing home. And I said, you've seen her. She's like, you can do that. And she shows up at night, and I talk to her, and then she's like, I saw Jesus, and he's very handsome, but I haven't told anybody. And I said, that's okay. You can tell me. That's fine. He's very nice, and they'll take care of you. Yeah. When the time comes. Yeah. So,
and that's one of the times when people start to let go of the physical world, when they do have experiences of beings or what the other side looks like, or any number of things, and they may not understand what they're seeing.
Yeah. I mean, I just see death as like a door that you walk through. It's like, okay, you walk out of your body and you walk through the door and you go on living your life. You're not in a physical body anymore, but yeah.
Right. Right. You go through life review, which they swear to me is not like the movie Beetlejuice.
Oh, no, it's not. No, it's...
But much, they said there have been upgrades. But, you know, there is a process of...
Debriefing.
Of debriefing, being counseled about what you've just experienced. And then you go find your friends and relatives that you've known forever.
Yeah.
And they have a little welcome party for you. And I don't know what the equivalent of beer is on the other side, but everybody lifts a toast. And at some point when you've done all of that long enough and hung out and unwound enough, somebody goes, road trip, who's coming with me? And you start over again.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to, it's kind of your decision.
Right. Okay. But, you know, and it's also a group activity, which is why I know I at least am constantly meeting people I already know.
Yeah.
You know, oh, it's you.
Yeah. So. That's how we were when we first met.
Absolutely. Actually, we probably have just about enough time to tell that story. It was at the Dowsing Convention, one of the first years I spoke at the convention.
16 years ago.
Was it that long?
Yeah.
And you found me in the hall and you said, oh, you're David Farkas, right? I wanted to meet you. I've heard about what you do. And then you looked at my right shoulder and you said, who's your friend?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what do you see? And you said, a dragon, of course. And I said, what color? Because I was still testing you.
Mm-hmm.
And you were getting annoyed with me. You said, red. What's his name? Yeah, that's Sammy. Say hello, Sammy.
Yeah, because I saw Sammy before I saw you.
Right. And so, and we've been friends ever since, but that was our introduction was, you're seeing a dragon with me and my testing you to see if you were serious.
Well, yes. And I mean, your dragons know me so well, they get excited when I come over. It's cute.
Yeah. They like you. They like you. So, the latest folk that have shown up are elves, which surprised me no end. But there's a couple of elves that are showing up and being very pleasant, which wasn't my experience with them the last time I met them.
They speak in different languages depending on the country.
Right. There are versions of little people like fairies in England and leprechauns in Ireland, and each culture has their race of little people. And the story that I've heard over and over again is they used to be in the physical world interacting with everybody.
And then they went into another dimension.
Because we were too dangerous. We weren't trustworthy. They were afraid of us.
Yeah. Mm.
So they show themselves occasionally. They'll kind of peek between dimensions and or do little mischievous things.
I've never like actually seen one, but I know they exist because whenever something is missing, I always say, put that where you know I'll look. Because I said, you know where I'll look before I do. So just put it in and I'll find it somewhere where I didn't put it. And I was like, okay, stop it.
Yep. I've had them do that to me too. And I just go, okay, I'm going in the other room. When I get back, it's going to be where I had it before, because if it isn't, we're not going to have fun. And they're like, okay.
And I mean, and also I blow up things with my hands and eyes and, you know, all that other stuff. Yeah. There's firepower too.
Yeah. You've got your reputation. I've got my reputation, and they want to have the conversation and the interaction, but it's like, you know, there are boundaries here. Don't cross the boundaries. And one of the rules that most people never talk about is if you are part of the physical world and you have a physical body, you're in charge. The beings that don't have bodies can do stuff, but they're not in charge here. They're not from this dimension.
Right.
You need a body to be in
or stuff. Or you're the one in control. And I mean, they can try and control you, but you have to give your power away. But I don't channel them. Like, they don't come through me, because I'm like, that's just, I'm not sharing my body with any. I mean, I'm like, you can stand next to me and tell me stuff. And they're like, all right, we'll do it that way.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And of course, there are some people listening that are going, wow, I never thought of it that way. That's so cool. and other people rolling their eyes and thinking that we're out of our minds.
That's okay. I mean, I wouldn't my life any other way.
Well, and
because I know
there is work that we do for people that they need that helps them that we couldn't do if we hadn't gotten to this level of understanding and perception and all the rest of it. And it's certainly different.
And I mean, it's also good that the boys were my teachers, so they knew what to start giving me at what age that I could take it in.
Right.
And so that they wouldn't throw me in the deep end of the pool. And, you know, I can swim very well physically, but I mean, they didn't want me to like have to, you know, be choked by anything.
Right.
The one time that did happen, I was 13. It didn't choke me, but a hand came out of the wall and grabbed me at 13. And that's when Talon and Justice showed up and they sleep on the bed. They're bed hogs. but they sleep on the bed and they're very protective of my bed and me. I'm in the middle. They're on either end and they're right. Okay.
Right.
Nobody's getting anywhere, you know, hurting you in any kind of way.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but they're very nice.
I know. We know.
But they love you, so.
which is another one of those, you know, we have an extended family of dragons and tigers and all kinds of other stuff. And it's like, you know, is Tobin at your house today? You know.
Well, he did go with me when I went to the dentist that time with the root canal.
Right.
He's very kitten-like. He sat on my chest and it's like, oh, thank you for keeping me calm. And Blaze was at the by my head and yeah, you know, yeah. And right. Siobhan was on the other side of me. It's like, if anybody saw this, there's three dragons.
And however that works and whatever that is, it's a wonderful way to live.
Yeah.
Anyway, we could keep talking forever, but the show's almost over.
Okay.
So give people a way to get in touch with you again. What was the email address?
My email address is mrnmcelroy@verizon.net.
Great.
And also Facebook, too.
Facebook, and they can find you as Maureen B. at McElroy on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So fantastic. Maureen, thank you so much for hanging out.
Oh, you're welcome, dear.
We get to do that. Well, first of all, we don't get to talk all that much. We do most of our stuff in chat windows, but so that's fun. Just
and
talking.
We usually see each other at the Dowsing convention, but neither one of us are going this year.
So. Right. Neither one of us are going for completely different reasons and circumstances. But
I knew that you wouldn't go even after you were a speaker.
Way before I knew. Yes.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm like, he's not gonna go. Because I looked at the boys and I'm like, he's not going to go. They're like, he's not going to go, but he has to figure that out for himself.
Well, we got to go.
Okay.
So again, thank you so much for being on the show. My guest tonight is Maureen McElroy, amazing psychic surgeon and remote healer. And if you need things done, she does amazing work. Thanks, Maureen.
Oh, you're welcome, dear.
And if you're listening and you're wondering, who is this guy, David, and what in the world does he do? You can go to...
He's a rock star.
You can go to househealing.com, and there's all kinds of ways to get in touch, including a link to schedule a 20-minute free assessment phone conversation to see what's going on with a person, place, business, situation, whatever it happens to be, and we'll see if my work might be helpful to you. The place to go to get more information about the show is thefarkasfiles.com. The whole archive is there, and you can link to any of the shows and listen to them. But the easiest way to listen now is with the Empower Radio app, which comes in both smartphone flavors, or streaming from any of the many streaming media outlets like TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, iTunes Podcasts, and I don't know if we're on some others. Just search for Empower Radio or Farkas Files. And Empower Radio has incredible shows 24/7. There's all kinds of interesting conversations going on all day, plus the meditation channel. So get the app and check out all the stuff. If you're looking for interesting, fun, and uplifting stuff rather than listening to most of the mainstream things, you can find it on Empower Radio and enjoy. So another wonderful show. Thank you so much for spending your time with us.
Okay.
Thank you one and all for being here. Mm-hmm. And until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas with the Farkas File. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Okay. We'll be right back.